everyone. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. What's new at the Mormon Channel this week? We have a new episode of Teaching No Greater Call. This is actually part two of the Come Follow Me curriculum, and this is going to show how the curriculum is being implemented. And in this episode, Brother Russell T. Oscarthorpe, who is the Sunday School General President, is going to be speaking with Brother David L. Beck, who is the Young Men General President, and Sister Elaine S. Dalton, who was recently released as the Young Women General President. And they're going to be talking about some tips on using this new curriculum. They share how it's helping the youth better learn the doctrine, and this is going to premiere tomorrow, Thursday, at 11 a.m. So be sure to check out that new episode. Today I want to talk about building our lives on a sure foundation. And of course I have a couple of stories that I want to share with you. And one of these is from a man named Dave in California. And I want to tell you his story. Dave had emailed me thanking all of us for our efforts here at the Mormon Channel and mentioned a couple of things about his life, which I was really impressed by. And so I asked him if he would be willing to let me share his story on the air. He wrote back that he would be. Thank you, Dave. And he wrote me a little more detailed story of his life. I will say that this particular story has made me quite emotional, and so I'm going to try and tell this story without crying, but I've sat in the studio for a few minutes trying to get a hold of my emotions, and it's been a little rough. This is what Dave says. I would like to share my conversion story. I have been blind since birth and went to high school in California. I unfortunately, as a blind person, lived a pretty sheltered life. I had a lot of opportunities and did a lot of things, but never really learned how to really do stuff for myself. Of course, I was able to take care of myself, things like dressing myself and the daily personal management skills, but really didn't have the skills to really make any real life decisions. I didn't even really have the ability or even the choice about questioning what I believed spiritually. However, when I was in high school, I sang in chamber singers all through high school, and the director was LDS. Growing up, I had been taught that Mormons just simply weren't Christians. So naturally, having a choir director who was Mormon, I thought, wow, this woman prays and everything like that. I went to a public school, and even though in public schools, teachers really are told not to talk much about religion, but this director, she didn't care. She prayed before our performances, and that was that. It helped that most of the choir members were members of the church as well. Of course, we weren't going to say anything. Being that my parents taught me that Mormons weren't Christians, I thought, yeah, right, they seem like perfect Christians to me. At that time, I knew that if I talked about it, I'd pretty much be told forget about it. So I pretty much knew that as soon as I got out of the house and out from under them, I was going to find out exactly what was going on. In fact, my parents were so against the church that I wanted to date someone in high school who was a church member, and not only would they not let me go out with her, they wouldn't even let her in the house. So, of course, by this time, I was pretty angry with them, but I really couldn't do anything about it. Dave goes on in his email to explain that he later decides to go to a center for the blind in another state. He says, "So I went out there, and that's how I found out about the church. My roommate was in our apartment, and I was gone somewhere at that time. I don't remember, but when I came back a few hours later, my roommate said that some LDS missionaries came over. They were sister missionaries. My roommate didn't have any problem with letting them in, so he just let them in. He didn't have any questions or anything. It was literally like, okay, guys, come on in, and oh, by the way, let's have the first discussion. I don't know what his story was, but he just invited them in and said, okay, let's go. Probably about a month or so later, he was baptized. So at that point, that was my entry into the church. This was in 97 when he got baptized, and I got baptized in 98. Dave explains in his email that his parents were not happy with his decision, and his father tried to show him some anti-Mormon videos. It did not have an impact on him, he says, because I had a testimony of the church and the Book of Mormon. Dave says of his relationship with his father now that he and his dad still talk and have an okay relationship. He ends his email by saying, I just really wanted to share my conversion story. Thank you so much for letting me share this. Thank you so, so much. Thank you, Dave, for sharing your story with us. I appreciate you letting me share this on the air. I literally can't even imagine being blind, and yet this is a man who sees. He saw the truth, and he fought for it, and I think it's an incredible example to all of us of how serious are we about the gospel of Jesus Christ. When difficulties come and storms rage around us, are we truly founded on the rock of our Savior, Jesus Christ? I pray that when your road gets rough, that you can remember the story of Dave and that his faith and his courage can be an example to you and to me. In April's General Conference in 2013, just a couple months ago, Bishop Dean M. Davies, who is the second counselor in the presiding bishopric, shared a story, and it's called A Sure Foundation, and I want to play that for you in his own words now.
On October 17, 1989, while driving home after work, I was approaching a stoplight at the intersection of Market and Beale Streets in San Francisco, California. At that moment, I felt the car shake and thought, I must have a flat tire. As the car continued to shake, I noticed a bus quite close to me and thought, that bus just hit me. Then the car shook more and more, and I thought, I must have four flat tires. But it wasn't flat tires or the bus. It was a powerful earthquake. As I stopped at the red light, there were ripples in the pavement like waves of the sea rolling down Market Street. In front of me, a tall office building was swaying from side to side, and bricks began falling from an older building to my left as the earth continued to shake. The Loma Prieta earthquake struck the San Francisco Bay Area at 5:04 p.m. that day and left as many as 12,000 people homeless. The earthquake caused severe damage in the San Francisco Bay Area, most notably on unstable soil in San Francisco and Oakland. In San Francisco, the Marina District had been built on a landfill made of a mixture of sand, dirt, rubble, and other materials containing a high percentage of groundwater. Some of the fill was rubble dumped into the San Francisco Bay after the 1906 San Francisco earthquake. In about 1915, apartment buildings were erected on the landfill. In the 1989 earthquake, the water-saturated, unconsolidated mud, sand, and rubble converted to a liquid-like mass, causing the buildings to collapse. The buildings were not built on a sure foundation. The earthquake in San Francisco impacted many lives, including my own. Pondering the events of that day reaffirms in my heart and mind that in order to successfully withstand the tempests, earthquakes, and calamities of life, we must build upon a sure foundation. The Nephite prophet Helaman gave unmistakable clarity to the importance of building our lives on a sure foundation, even the foundation of Jesus Christ. And now, my sons, remember that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that ye must build your foundation, that when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts in the whirlwind, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storms shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe, because of the rock upon which ye are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereon if men build, they cannot fall.
I like that talk because we really do need to build our lives on our Savior Jesus Christ. He is our only sure foundation. And not only that, but he is our forever friend. He'll never leave us. He's always with us. He loves us and he's watching out for us each and every day. Even when we turn away from him or we don't pray as often as we should, he's always there for us. And it's my prayer that we can remember that and reach out to him more and trust him more and rely on him more. And with that, it's time to close, but I want to thank you for joining us today. If you have any suggestions, comments, or inspirational stories you'd like to share with me, send me an email at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post on our Facebook wall today. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the song of the day that I want to leave you with is, of course, How Firm a Foundation, featuring the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. And this version of the song is arranged by Mac Wilberg, who is the music director of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. He's amazing. Enjoy the song. Thanks, everyone, and have a great day.